Well, welcome to Ask the Pastors, a segment of the West Hills Podcast, where you have the opportunity to ask your questions and receive biblically grounded, pastorally sensitive answers from our pastoral staff. My name is Brian. I'm your host and one of the pastors on staff here at West Hills. And today I'm joined by our lead pastor, Will.
Hello.
And just going to kind of be reflecting on the question, why did we join the EFCA network of churches? You just got back from a conference with the EFCA Monday,
that's right.
Tuesday.
That's right. So
just an opportunity to reflect on that as well as the benefits that come with that.
Sure.
All the things.
Yeah. Thad and I went down Sunday evening after church and got back last night. So a little quick 48-hour trip up to Des Moines, Iowa for the Evangelical Free Church of America, EFCA Central District annual conference. And yesterday morning, Tuesday morning, proud, excited to report that we were officially voted into the district. So yeah,
it's official.
It is official. That's why we can title this episode, Why Did We Join the EFCA network, as opposed to why are we, or why, you know, should we, or something like that.
Yeah.
But we thought that not only is this a good opportunity to kind of reflect on a little bit on the conference and all of that, but even more broadly, kind of that whole process and decision-making process of joining, and linking arms with the EFCA in general, which has been, again, really over a year, you know, closer to a year and a half in the making at this point.
Yeah.
And we've done that. We've done some of that reflection, obviously, in town hall meetings, in all church, you know, membership meetings, but less so on Sunday mornings. And to my recollection, I don't think we've really done a podcast per se on it. And so we just thought, you know, it seems fitting to do an episode on this, and timely.
Totally.
And also appropriate, since we did receive questions along the way over the last year from our, you know, church members of you know, why EFCA? And I was asked that question at the conference. They did sort of an interview on stage, kind of a get to know your church and that sort of thing before everybody voted on us. So on Monday evening, I had an opportunity to reflect on this question too, publicly with, you know, a room of 200 or so pastors that were already in the EFCA, and just was asked, you know, hey, why do you want to join us? And so anyway, my short answer to them on Wednesday evening, and they gave me about 2 minutes, so it was real short.
Wow.
But I just said, you know, without going a whole drudging it up and making it about a negative thing, I said, you know, that the fact of the matter is we at West Hills have been a part of another denomination for 55 years now, and we have more recently started to you know, see and express and discuss concerns with that denomination, really in three areas that we've tried to categorize, distill, and then communicate to West Hills, to our church, in this whole process. And so those three categories are, you know, doctrinal. There are a couple, you know, doctrinal issues, and I can say on the podcast, I think, I mean, it's no secret, certainly to those of us here at our church, and our website is going to change today. Like, you know, now that it's official, Brian, we've talked about you changing the website. Is, you know, we currently say on our website, we're partnered with the Converge Network of Churches, the old Baptist General Conference. Today, that'll officially change and say we're partnered with the EFCA Network of Churches. But we've just sensed some theological drift on some issues that for us as a church and our understanding of Scripture on how it talks about things like complementarianism and women's role in ministry, you know, is one. And even, you know, beyond that, I would even say some ecclesiological issues of how we define church and even on two fronts there, Converge takes a very, very strong stance on, you know, even how they define a church as a gathering of believers who've been baptized by immersion, whatever. So the way they define a church wouldn't even accommodate for, you know, like the PCA church across the street where my daughter goes to school. They would say, well, I guess they would say that's not a church because they haven't been baptized on a profession of faith by immersion. They believe in infant baptism. So whatever they are, they're not a church. And so anyway, just things like that have come to be, you know, problematic increasingly for me as I've just gotten my footing in the denomination. And so that's one is doctrinal. The other second would be more kind of philosophical or missional kind of philosophy of ministry types of things where, and again, I don't want to turn all of this podcast into a negative sort of slam of the denomination we're leaving. But there was a philosophy of ministry thing that's a little harder to pin down and make it objective, but that at least, you know, as pastors and elders that we've discussed, we've identified some trends and some language and just some things where, I would say one of the biggest kind of growing, I don't know, not divides per se, but just there's different types of churches, you know, there just are. And, you know, even within the evangelical world, church world, you know, evangelical, I'm using that as like, we believe the Bible is the inspired word of God. We believe in the gospel, evangel, and that, you know, people need to hear it to go to heaven and escape hell and, you know, be in relationship with God. And even within that world of people who believe all of that in the evangelical world, you know, there's a philosophy of ministry divide between churches that see what's going on in the culture and how many people are leaving the church and they're scared of that and they're trying to do whatever they can to keep people in the church. Mm-hmm. And their answer to that and whatever it takes is to, you know, is to what some of us would maybe say compromise on certain things. And so, you know, you're probably not going to, for instance, be expositional in your preaching and teaching, yeah. You know, because to be an expository preacher and to preach through whole books of the Bible, you're going to come to doctrines and things like hell, for instance, which is a very unpopular. Right. If you're trying to grow your church and get people back in the church and keep people in church and whatever, yeah. The easiest way to fail is to talk about hell, because very unpopular, or LGBTQ issues, or, you know, just different things that have become hot button things in our culture that, you know, a lot of churches are just going to stay away from. Let's, under the guise of kind of like, well, that's not the main thing. So like, let's just focus on the positive aspects of what's attractive about
kind of pick Christianity.
Yeah. As opposed to, again, for us, in terms of philosophy and ministry, is because we believe the Bible is God's word, all of it, we're going to do things like preach a 4-month sermon series in Leviticus, mm-hmm. because it's God's word and people need to hear it. And yeah. It's just something you wouldn't do in most of the churches, or any, I mean, the other pastors, I'm still, you know, I think have good relationships with them, the Converge guys that were kind of leaving, and I don't have any ill will or any of that. You know, pray for them, pray for their ministries. We'll continue to pray for them in the pastoral prayers on Sundays here. But like that, I don't know any of them who've preached through Leviticus. I could be wrong about that. But I just think that, you know, again, if you're trying to get people who are apathetic about faith to come, Leviticus may or may not be the best way to get people to church. But for us, it's like, hey, that's God's word, and it points us to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And even as difficult as something like a idea of substitutionary atonement, Jesus' sacrifice and the blood, all the blood and guts that we see in Leviticus, like, blood. Again, it's not whitewashed. It's not it's not nice and easy to kind of package and get people wanting to come maybe listen about that. It seems foreign. It seems barbaric. It's, you know, it's kind of the parts of that that others might want to hide. All that to say, that's all philosophy of ministry stuff where we just sense, you know, that, and I'll go to the positive side now, like just being at even this 2-day conference with the EFCA, the conversations, you know, asking guys, hey, what are you preaching on right now? And things like that. It's just like, to me, was very reassuring, affirming. Like, yeah, I think we made a good call here. Like I, the more of the, and again, there's going to be different types of churches in any network, in any church. And so there's going to be churches within the EFCA that are probably more of that kind of seeker pursuant, seeker driven churches. You know, we at West Hills want to be welcoming and open to everybody. Mm-hmm. But the way that we're really doing ministry is to try and disciple the saints, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, as Ephesians 4:12 says.
Yeah.
And so Sunday mornings for us are not, you know, that like, hey, how can we, you know, try and do whatever we can to get non-Christians here. It's, hey, this is the church. This is God's people. They're coming together to be fed, to be equipped, so they can be sent out. And their job is Monday through Saturday to go and reach the lost. And so it's just a different philosophy. It's a different approach to how we're going to do ministry. We're going to equip the saints and focus more on discipleship. So, but it seems like a lot of, yeah, just a lot of commonality with that in the EFCA, and just a really high view of Scripture. Again, as God's Word, all of it needs to be preached. Really high view of the church and what it is, and that community of God's people, and strengthening that. You know, Converge is really big on starting new churches. I've always said, like, I'd rather strengthen and make sure the 1,000 churches we've got are healthy, instead of planting 1,000 new churches. And, you know, if you plant 1,000 new churches and 1,000 more, or 2,000 more close their doors this year, then, you know, that's not a net gain there. I mean, that's not, you know, so right. Anyway, just to say, you know, and EFCA wants to plant churches as well, but like they're not bragging about, look at these dozens and dozens of churches we planted this year. It was kind of like, hey, we only planted like 5 churches as a district this year. But you know what? We're going to make sure they're healthy churches, and we're going to make sure that they're built to last, and come alongside them and support them. And that is our good segue into my third category of the relational, where we just, as a church and as a pastor, and we did not feel like we were getting the kind of support and relationship from Converge that we were looking for. And so as we, you know, were really praying and wrestling with that and, you know, had conversations with them about that, hey, this is how we're feeling, it seemed like not only, I mean, falling on deaf ears is one, there was a lot of pushback and kind of blame shifting and pointing and a lot of that where it was not received well, and it did not seem like there was really an open door for that relationship to be repaired and continue and go forward. So it just seemed like God was giving confirmation that, you know, this was a partnership that ran its course for 55 years and was good for a season, and now it's time for a new season, new chapter. And to frame that more positively now on the relational side with the FCA, like I said, just such a sense of unity and camaraderie with the other pastors we were hanging out with the past couple of days. And as far as support for, you know, us as leaders and that sort of thing, you know, I just give another shout out here on the podcast to Mike Shields, who's the district superintendent with EFCA Central. Just, you know, has been so welcoming and already just kind of begun to invest in me as a pastor and make clear, you know, his desire to be there as a support and shepherd to me and to the other pastors that he oversees, and others. Todd Brooks, who's the regional kind of liaison and director for the district here in St. Louis, and so many who are resources to me that, you know, when pastoral ministry gets hard and it's like, I'm the only lead pastor here. Yeah. It can be isolating and lonely. Who do I go to? And just knowing that I have those kinds of guys who care about me, who care about our church, who care about the ministry here, who want to see me be healthy, West Hills be healthy and thrive. And so that's huge for me. You know, and there's tons of other things I could just, you know, even say beyond that. Like, just you think about at a denominational level. Like, I think this conference, why the EFCA? I think about this conference these past 2 weeks, and you know, the difference when we knew, okay, we need to start looking for other denominations to possibly be a part of, because none of us as elders were interested in being a non-denominational church. Like, we believe in the value of denominations, having that support, having that connection with other and fellowship with other churches and pastors, having a sense of accountability that, you know, if West Hills started straying off the gospel, off message, off getting off the rails doctrinally, whatever, you know, you've got a more of a sense of again, accountability and that. Yeah, even just on practical things, you know, we can do missions better together as groups of churches, pooling our resources, and you know, we can do healthcare plans for churches better when, you know, you're connected with other churches and stuff like that. So all that to say, we knew we didn't want to be non-denominational, but we started looking at what else is out there, and the short list became very short very quickly, that it just, EFCA rose straight to the top, that doctrinally solid, even better of a fit than where we were. Philosophy of ministry, the more getting to know the churches, they seem to be in that same kind of camp of pursuing the right things that we are. And then just relationally, just have it, you know, and there's going to be bad apples in every bunch. And so I'm sure there, again, pastors that I'll meet in this network that we're not going to be best friends, and that's fine. But just that there seems to be a really good kind of synergy and camaraderie there. But even just you zoom out and you think about some of these other denominations, and I'm not here again to bash, but I think about this conference and I think about what you've seen coming out of some of other denominations' conferences. I mean, the PCA right here, Covenant Seminary right across the street, love them, you know, solid denomination, you know, all of that. I've got a lot of PCA friends here in town. Their annual conference, whatever it was, 2-3 years ago, made national news, because any fire, dumpster fire in the church world is going to make national news, because that's what, you know, the secular world loves to expose the fires in the church. But it made news because there's this growing and big sort of split within the PCA over issues around gender and sexuality stuff. And so a lot of that conference was spent fighting over that. You know, you think about the SBC, Southern Baptist, again, lots of SBC friends and pastors I look up to, and lots of great stuff coming out of SBC for centuries now. But here, you know, again, their conference, the headlines coming out is all about, you know, whether or not we're kicking Saddleback out because of, you know, they're letting women be pastors, and, you know, should we be honest about all the sexual abuse stuff or sweep it under the rug, and should we, you know, how do we respond to critical race theory? And I mean, it's just been one thing after the next of just fighting. And you know, I just so appreciated being at this conference with EFCA Central, where it's like they've put their flag in the sand. We know where we stand on these things. And we're going to continue to major on the majors, minor on the minors. You know, the EFCA National put out sort of a position paper on what they called denials and affirmations on these secondary issues, where they said, here's where we stand on women in leadership. Here's where we stand. And we've shared it with our church in our whole, you know, kind of process of shifting to EFCA to give them a good representation of, you know, here's where we stand on cessationism and continuation. So here's where we stand on infant versus believer's baptism. And they just very clearly and biblically laid out, here's where we stand. And so because of that, we're not going to fight about it. And if you don't stand with us on that, that's okay. We love you, but you know, maybe this isn't a nomination for you. And there was such unity amongst the EFCA leadership.
There's a lot of unity.
In producing that
sweet
position paper. And they sent that to the churches. And they said it was like, you know, 98%. Like when they presented this paper at their annual conference last year, in the wake of the SBC, in the wake of the PCA stuff, they're like, we want to get ahead of this. We don't want this kind of infighting here. And they presented it at their annual conference out in California last year. They said they got to the last statement, they read it, and said, you know, amen. And there was a almost universal standing ovation for like a minute of just like pastors standing up and cheering, saying, thank you that you brought clarity on these important issues, but also on which ones are first tier issues that we divide over and which ones are not, that we can both hold different positions but still be in the same denomination. And I love that. You know, I love that. I love being a part now of a network of churches where we're not going to avoid those issues altogether because we're afraid of fighting, but we're also not going to fight about it. We're going to be clear. We're going to be biblical. And then we're going to move on. And because there's too much work to be done, there's too much gospel ministry that needs to be done to allow the enemy to distract us with this bickering and this infighting. Right. So I love that. I mean, that for me just speaks to my heart and the kind of church that we want to be here at West Hills.
That's awesome.
Where we're going to major on the majors. We're going to minor on the minors. We're going to agree on which ones are major and which ones are minor. We're going to try and define those for you and help you understand, hey, you know what? If you think end times theology is a major and you think everybody here needs to be a dispensationalist, this is probably just not the church for you. Because we've got folks that disagree and that are amillennialist and postmillennialist and everything else. And we're okay with that. And if you're not okay with that and you need everybody at your church to believe in the dispensationalism, then you know, we love you. This is just not the church. And we've had people come and go through this church for that and other reasons. And that's fine. You know, that's fine. Yeah. But yeah, just this is how we see God's word clearly define what's most important. And that's what we're going to cling to. So
good.
Yeah, a lot of unity and a lot of just confirmation of this whole process and journey we've been on. Grateful for that. Grateful for the church's unity in that. 98% vote back in March.
That was amazing.
Amongst our membership to make this move. And so we're just grateful to the Lord for giving us such a spirit of unity as we've led through that. So
yeah, it's big. It's big. And an exciting change.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, that, again, all the negative reasons for whatever leaving, like we can just focus on the positive and move forward and like grow in this relationship and look forward to the future together and locking arms. And you know, we got a good dozen or so EFCA churches here in town. And so I'm excited to, you know, to try and, you know, join with them and continue on some things, to even join with, you know, those pastor friends that I've made in the past as well. And just, you know, keep pursuing gospel ministry together wherever God allows. So.
Amen. Well, that's it for this week's episode of Ask the Pastors. Remember that you can submit your questions by visiting the info bar at West Hills or by submitting them online through our website at www.westhillsstl.org. And I believe our topic for next week, should a Christian marry a divorced person? If we're still good for that.
Still.
Great. So that will be our topic next week.
God willing. If we're here.
God willing. If we're here.
God can take us home.
That's right. And if you enjoyed this week's episode, hit that like button, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll catch you next week.